And welcome back to This Green Earth. I'm Claire Wiley, and joining me now is award-winning illustrator and author Jennifer Smith. She is the creator of the children's natural history series Wild Wonders and has launched her own brand, Wondery Theory Studio. Jennifer, thank you so much for being a part of This Green Earth.
Thank you so much for having me and inviting me on.
Well, where are you joining us from today?
Bristol in England.
Well, we are so glad you made the time to be with us this morning. And I am so fascinated by the work that you do. So I really wanted to have this discussion and have you on the show. I'm curious as to how your path took you into these incredible scientific illustrations. So let's get to know you a little bit first. Tell me what led you to becoming an artist.
I was very enthusiastic about most subjects in school, and it was always a little bit sort of, would I pursue the arts or would I pursue science or anything else? And I feel like I did leave it up until the last minute in terms of my education to decide. My A levels were quite varied. That's the sort of upper end of high school in the UK. And we have to select subjects at that age. So I studied art, maths, biology, history. And that was quite an unusual mix because usually you go down one route, whereas I just wanted to keep a broad overview. I wasn't ready to let go of anything yet. And then some difficult things happened at home. So my granny, who lived with us, she had a stroke and we were caring for her at home. With that disruption, the only thing that I could still do well and excel in was art. And while I managed to catch up with my other subjects and I was able to retake exams and that kind of thing, I realized that actually, contrary to what many people would advise, art was the most stable thing that I could go into for myself, because no matter what happened, I would still be able to do it and still enjoy it. So that was sort of the turning point in my decision to become an artist. When I went to university, I chose to study drawing at Camberwell, which is a college in the University Arts London. And I chose drawing because this particular course, while it was a fine art course, we did modules learning about how drawing is used in different disciplines. So yeah, we did a module with architects and one of the modules was with a medical illustrator. So once I got my medical art qualification, I started dabbling in the more traditional medical art while working at Waterstones, where I was surrounded by books. And I was just really drawn to especially the children's reference section. I always loved it growing up, but over the past 15 years or so, there's just been an explosion in that area of publishing of these very heavily illustrated, well-produced books in the nonfiction market for children. So once I saw these beautiful books coming out, like Animalium, illustrated by Katie Scott, I just thought that's the niche that I want to pursue. That's what I should be doing.
The illustrations that you create for your books are just absolutely stunning. They're really breathtaking. And you had mentioned that you are a qualified scientific illustrator through the Medical Artists Association. And that is, like you said, quite a niche to specifically draw in the sciences. And you bring to life so many creatures from our natural world and in such a way that really pulls you in. Why did you think it was important to get young readers excited about biodiversity and the natural world? Because it sounds like it was something when you were a child that was really interesting to you as well.
There was just something so meaningful about that line of illustration. And I do illustrate for adults as well, but in particular children's, it's just one of those areas of publishing which can really foster how people see the world later on as well. It's planting seeds and it's fostering little shoots of enthusiasm for the natural world that could make a really big difference later on. And in terms of what I can do as an illustrator, I hope that my impact can be to foster a love and wonder for the natural world in those people for the future environmental lawyers, the future conservationists and zoologists and botanists.
Yeah, I think that we can all look back to that library book, or I remember we had the scholastic time in my school where they would bring a bunch of books and you could go pick one out, or reading is fundamental was a big thing when I was a kid. And I remember being drawn to a lot of those books that talked about the natural world, that talked about animals, and it really spoke to me. So I think that that is exactly right. You tap something in a child and you turn on their imagination, or there's a spirited way in which you're relating to them that really plants that seed. And one of the books that you have just created is called Life. And it is about biodiversity, and it is part of a series of Wild Wonders. Can you share with me what people can expect to see inside of those pages?
Yeah, so Life, it's all about biodiversity, as you said. It's a sort of child-friendly overview of what these systems are. It's an introduction. It talks about stuff they might be familiar with in school, but then it goes slightly beyond it, and it sort of looks at various case studies to help to illustrate quite broad concepts. So one of my favorite spreads is a spread called Bad Reputation, and it's about the less appealing animals, or animals and plants that some people might find less appealing, like wasps or midges.
Oh yeah, midges.
Yeah.
Not everyone's favorite, but also plays a role in our ecosystems.
A big role. Midges are an essential food source for lots of birds. But the thing that I chose to pick was that we wouldn't have chocolate without midges, because they're the only insect small enough, or probably one of the only insects small enough to pollinate the cocoa plant flowers. So just little fun facts like that, which sort of can catch somebody's attention. That's sort of the route that I went down. And when I'm writing the book, I sort of start off from a place of making a load of questions that children might have, and trying to answer those questions in a way that also hits the major notes of what we need to be talking about in a book about biodiversity.
Yes. Well, you talk about everything from a crab that uses sea anemones as boxing gloves to shrimp that ride around on sea slugs. So it really is diving into the very fascinating and delicate and interesting balances and creatures that make up our world. And it isn't just on the surface. You really do dive deep into a lot of the aspects and biodiversity that makes our world what it is. Can you talk to me about the crab that uses the sea anemones? Because that reference just seems really funny and incredible to me. And to be illustrated in a book would be really phenomenal.
Yeah. I mean, so it's called the boxer crab, and they use their little pincers to pick up sea anemones that have a sting to them. And yeah, they sort of wave them around to warn off predators. And if you look up some videos of them doing it, it's quite funny, because they look like little cheerleaders with pom-poms.
So how do you find the real creatures doing these things so that you can then create them on the page? What does that process look like?
I do look at a lot of images online, and I use YouTube videos actually in particular, because it gives you a sense of the three-dimensional aspect of what these creatures might look like. When there is a video there, I always try and find that, because then you're creating an entirely new image that without copying anything in particular. And so I create sketches, and I sort of whittle down from the sketches to what the final image is going to be.
What are some of the concepts about biodiversity that you have in this book?
So we talk about everything from symbiotic relationships, like with the boxer crab and the anemone, to the energy pyramid, where you have the producers, so plants that photosynthesize at the bottom, all the way up to the apex predator, so talking about the flow of energy throughout an ecosystem, and then also talking about ecosystems themselves and how an ecosystem provides services to us as well as itself. And I don't want to only value nature for what it can do for us, but it's very important that we understand what nature does for us. Mm-hmm. So that's something that I really wanted to get across with this book, was here's the joy and the wonder, but also we rely on these systems, and they all play, every creature plays an important part, some more important than others, but every creature has its place. Sure. And how amazing is that?
Absolutely. And you have worked with a lot of different scientists. You've worked with Sir David Attenborough. Tell me about that relationship that you have with scientists, and what was that work that you did with Attenborough?
Yeah, so for all of my books, we have expert consultants come on and they review my work at the draft phase and at the end phase, again, when all the illustrations are drawn up and all the text is finalized, and they will, you know, tweak things and tell me, oh, that beak needs to be more curved, or, you know. So the expert consultant for life was Joanna Bagnuska, Dr. Joanna Bagnuska. She also wrote The Modern Bestiary, which I illustrated for her a few years ago. And actually, there's an ongoing theme of me working with the expert consultants prior to them working on my book, which is just a lovely thing. So my first book, Glow, was fact-checked and looked over by Dr. Edith Widder, who wrote Below the Edge of Darkness. She's a bioluminescence expert who has an incredible story of her own. And I think a huge part of making books like this is accepting what you don't know and your own limitations, and respecting the expertise of others and collaborating with them in a respectful way, and just enjoying, you know, the breadth of experience of collaborating with people. And in terms of the David Attenborough project, I mean, that was a dream come true. I could not believe that when that project came into my email inbox. I thought it was spam, and I almost deleted the email because it was too good to be true. But it was true, and I'm glad I didn't delete it. I didn't get to meet David. I worked a little bit more with the co-author, Colin Butfield.
What was that project?
So it was 50 illustrations for his new book, Ocean, The Last Wilderness. And they wanted 10 chapter openers, which were full page, and then 40 smaller illustrations of various animals and plants and environments. It was so amazing to be able to play a tiny part in Sir David Attenborough's legacy.
Right. So what is your favorite creature or creatures to draw then, now that you've done such a breadth of work in flora and fauna?
It's so difficult to answer this question. I think I'll always have a soft spot for ocean life. I think my first book, Globe, was all about bioluminescence, and marine life features quite heavily in that. I think there's just something that my style, ocean life lends itself quite well to it, because it's quite sparkly, and, you know, even when it's not bioluminescent, it catches the light in a beautiful way. And so I'll always enjoy marine life, but honestly, any organic form, and I'm happy. Like, I think there's so much to enjoy about so many different creatures and plants, and any kind of texture, like fur or feathers or scales. I'm just all about the detail, I think.
Yes, because these drawings are extremely detailed and they come to life in a way. You said you like the sparkly and the glow, and it does seem like those colors really jump off the page. And as you move through these works, has it led you to look at the world a little bit differently? Do you see the planet in a different way after working on all these different projects?
So part of my brand, Wonder Theory, it was about aligning my artistic practice to how I viewed the world and how I experienced these concepts and my own sense of wonder, and how I wanted to infuse my work with it in order to relay that to other people who might feel the same. I think that my work is a reflection of what's always been in a way, because I just get so excited when I see something. So, you know, even something quite mundane like a beetle, or it just fills me with such joy. I think my style came out of that. You know, to me, it just feels so magical. And actually, a big turning point for me in my practice was prior to my first book coming out about bioluminescence. I was swimming at nighttime in Devon, probably about 6 years ago now, and my partner noticed that there was a blue flash in the water when it was up against one of the paddle boards. It was sort of twilight, it wasn't quite nighttime, but as it got darker, we realized that it was actually bioluminescence in the water, which is something that I had no idea could happen in the UK. I thought it was just, you know, tropical places with, you know, warmer weather, but with the right conditions, it turns up all over the world. And just the absolute sheer joy of that moment of playing with this sea sparkle dinoflagellate in the water. It was when you put your hand under the water and move it, the light follows your stroke. And when you lift your hand out of the water, it sparkles all over your skin. And it's literally just magic. It's just magic that's real.
Yeah.
It clicked for me, this is how I want my work to feel. I want to translate, I need to make an illustration right now of this. And I created this illustration of that experience and put it in my portfolio. And that's when I got the job illustrating Dr. Edith Widder's Below the Edge of Darkness, which is part memoir, part science book about bioluminescence. And the reason that they picked me as the illustrator is because I was one of the only ones who actually had bioluminescence in their portfolio. So it sort of all snowballed from that point onwards. But it definitely speaks to having an art practice that aligns with who you are and how you feel about the world and what's authentic to you and how you view it.
So you started out with this book, Glow. You created a book called Bang that is about natural occurrences or disasters in our world, including volcanoes and the like. And now you've created Life in this series. And each one of them brings such a depth of information, but also when you said it's for young readers or it leans into young readers, I cannot wait to get my hands on this book because they are so absolutely stunning. And I think that adults and children alike will really take something from this. And sometimes I think it's even better for adults to regain that wonder about the world. And your books are such a portal to do that.
Oh, thank you so much. I mean, yeah, part of the reason that I went into this line of publishing is because I love these kinds of books now as an adult. So I definitely think it's not just for children. And I remember being a kid and mourning the loss of illustrations in the books I was reading as I progressed in my reading skills. It's like, why do we have to lose the visual art element of books so young? It's such a shame.
Well, I think you are bringing that back for all of us. And where can people go to learn more about you and your books? What is your website?
So my website is wondertheory.co.uk. And my Instagram is wonder.theory. That's wonder with a O.
This is Jennifer Smith, an award-winning illustrator and author who has created a natural history series called Wild Wonders and has launched her own brand called Wonder Theory Studio. And you can go online to wondertheory.co.uk to learn more about Jennifer, her work, and get your hands on these beautiful, beautiful books. Thank you, Jennifer, so much for being a part of this Green Earth.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. It was lovely talking to you.